Hi, this is Jackie Strenio with the Association for Social Economics podcast. I'm sitting down today with Chime Zurich-Batar, a PhD student in economics at the University of Utah, and the 2018 William Waters Grant recipient from the Association for Social Economics. The purpose of the grant is to inspire scholars to think through issues of social economics and social economy. And we're going to talk to Chime today about her research and how it embodies these ideas of social economy. So welcome to the podcast, Chime.
Well, thank you for having me and thanks for the introduction.
Of course.
Glad to be here.
Congratulations on being an award recipient for a grant. So I think I just wanted to start off and ask you to tell us a little bit about your research and how it embodies the ideas of social economy or what social economics means to you. So you could talk about any of those in any order.
So to me, in the simplest sense, it means to bring social sort of back into economics. Economics is a social science, and it has been, but in the conventional economic thinking with its sometimes narrow definition, for instance, what constitutes as work or production or even economics as a whole, leaves important topics and methods as uneconomical and focuses on market and exchange side of the story as worthy of inclusion. So by doing so, the dominant economics discourse is losing touch with family relations and human aspects of everyday life that are, to me at least, certainly economical in nature. So with this, we end up with this exogenously formed autonomous agents that are optimizing their decision making with given choices and constraints. But if we ask where those choices come from or how do these agents make their decision making, then we realize there are social dimensions of economic life that are missing. And economics is embedded in the society that we live in. And the practices, norms, perceptions, and network are important. That's what I mean by bringing social back into economics. I mean,
that's fantastic. And I think it's obvious why you were awarded a grant from the Association for Social Economics.
Oh, thank you. I feel very lucky.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about how you see these ideas of social economy in your research. And maybe just start by talking about what is your research question and how these themes play out in what you observe. I know you travel halfway around the world.
Yes.
To do your research. So you could speak to that as well.
Okay, so I wanted to look at gender differences in time use and unpaid household work among young children in the capital city of Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar. And the reason I wanted to do that was, first of all, the topic of unpaid household work was sort of neglected up until the 1960s. And when it received much needed attention, and there's been great many works done on the topic, but it's been mainly focused on adult men and women. So the share that's been done or performed by children has been largely ignored. So I wanted to dwell into that and focus on children especially and how that discrepancies might play out between boys and girls. And the reason I wanted to do that was I think it's especially true in countries like Mongolia and developing countries in the global south that children start to engage in domestic responsibilities at a much younger age. So if we're neglecting the share that's been done by young children, then we're underestimating the total unpaid household work done. And also, I think there's greater implications to importance in looking into children and gender division among boys and girls. It's because when we talk about adult discrepancies between men and women, we talk about human capabilities and functioning and how that might hinder women's position and her well-being. I think the same argument could be applied to children. Girls are more likely to be sharing the burden of the home responsibility than maybe she is having lesser opportunities in terms of time spent on her education and attainment or health and development. So that, I think, in itself sort of lays the foundation for their future prospects, which may relate or mirror the adult discrepancies even in the labor market.
Excellent. So can you give us some sense of what your field research in Mongolia showed? How much work do children do? And And are there these gender differences between the amount of work and the types of work that boys and girls do in the home?
There is definitely this notion within, you know, the social context of Mongolia, that there's norms whereby we live by male breadwinner and female homemaker kind of attitude. But it's interesting because Mongolia is a unique, given our socialist history, aiming for equal opportunities for women, and on the other hand, just traditional norms that are heavily enforced in the society. So I am still kind of working on my transcription, but I did get about 530 time diaries in total, of which about 120 are from children aged 7 to 11. And with the interviews that I've done with the families that I was surveying and with the kids too, it shows that sometimes there is a role of the gender that plays. For instance, so if you have a boy and a girl about the same age in the household, within the same household, so you wouldn't want the boy to, for example, throw away the trashes because he's a boy and he's a guy and he's not supposed to do those kind of things. And I think that matters for young kids who are learning their social expectations, the society's expectations, and they're getting shaped and molded into these individuals within that society, right? In that sense, I think I try to pay more attention to the embeddedness of individuals in the societal context in the community. With that regards, I try to kind of like bring social back into economics. With certain observations like that, I can give examples, but I think I kind of underestimated the work and time that goes into transcription process. Yeah. So I'm still working, and actually I'm not still working on it. My research assistant is finalizing the transcription process, and when I have the data, I would be able to tell more, but I'm excited to get my hands on that. But just from the interviews I've observed, I did hear people say that, well, because he's a boy, I don't make him do certain things, and because she's a girl, she's more altruistic and she's taking care of her siblings. And I do think that that kind of expectations and behaviors from parents, right, and maybe school environment, and the existing social norms might inflict differences in later prospects in their life. For example, occupational segregation, it might relate to that. I think that's interesting.
I appreciate that you go back to the source. We talk so much about unequal distribution of household or care work in adulthood, but you're really tracing this back and saying these might be learned behaviors, so they're intergenerationally transmitted from grandparents to kids.
Exactly, because we look at those discrepancies, either being the labor markets or at home, where women bearing more burden in the domestic labor. So we see it after marriage or adulthood. So I think it would be interesting to see what's going on with our young children who are just learning to behave within those social contexts and what's expected of that society.
So you've mentioned some of the things it sounds like you've used the William Waters grant money to do, but can you speak more about what specifically winning this grant enabled you to do in your research?
Well, it made this fieldwork possible. Without it, I wouldn't have been able to go to Mongolia and do all of this work. So it really made it possible, and I'm very thankful for, you know, having this opportunity to do this fieldwork, because I thought that this was interesting. Sometimes I think, like in the economics hierarchy, that we're sort of at the bottom, or like especially concerning unpaid household work, and if you bring children into that, I mean, is it economics, is it not? So I had this great support. I felt so lucky, so it kind of encouraged me and made me feel like this work is not just some unimportant, uneconomical stuff.
Right, you've talked about the different methodologies in economics and how social economics to you means doing more unorthodox methodologies like field work and qualitative data in addition to the hard numbers from your time diaries. Yeah. So I think that'll add to the insight from your research. So just to wrap up here, could you maybe summarize some suggestions for other young scholars, first who might be applying for the grant, but then also other young scholars that are interested in this broader definition of economics that includes the social economy?
I think everyone's research is different, and I don't think I'm in no position to give any suggestions to them. But one thing that I got out of this experience was that I was sort of scared to pursue this because I was afraid maybe it wouldn't get as much credit, or because it's not the real economics, or it's not economics. So
you were afraid it wouldn't be seen as valuable?
Yes, valuable economics, because I'm dealing with young children who are being shaped and molded into their existing societies. And on top of that, I bring this unpaid household work between them. And then, I mean, is it economics or is it not? I was afraid that maybe I would face that, but receiving this grant made me not feel like I'm doing some unimportant work.
From what I've heard, it sounds like your work is very important, and I'm excited to hear what results you find once you get your data back and can start doing analyses. And I'm sure the Association for Social Economics will check in with you, but best of luck with your future research endeavors, and thanks for sitting down to talk with us.
Thank you for having me and hearing out this research.